Recently, we've seen an unprecedented number of attacks against crisis pregnancy centers after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, the 1973 pro-abortion decision. One of those centers attacked was in Buffalo, New York, which was firebombed. That crisis pregnancy center is a part of a ministry called Compass Care, whose president is Jim Hardin. Jim Hardin now joins us on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Jim, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's an honor to be with you, Jerry. Thanks for having me.
So this crisis pregnancy center that was firebombed, tell us about that. I mean, isn't that kind of illegal to destroy a building? I mean, even if it was a building that was a candy factory or something, you know, much less, you know, something providing humanitarian aid, although I guess the left wouldn't look at it that way. But tell us about this firebomb incident.
Yeah, it is definitely illegal to firebomb. An arson attack is just below murder in the criminal justice system because it carries so much potential damage and threat to life. Luckily, no one was injured. On June 7th, we were firebombed by the pro-abortion terrorist group known as Jane's Revenge. They've taken responsibility for scores of attacks on pro-life organizations since the leak of the Dobbs case overturning Roe versus Wade a couple of months ago. And my Buffalo regional executive called me early in the morning, 2:30 in the morning on June 7th, saying there's smoke alarms are going off apparently at the office. I said, well, give me a call when you get there. Let me know. The reason why he called me is because we had been sustaining threats for a couple of weeks and before that point, and we reported it to the FBI and local police. So we had been on heightened alert. Jane's Revenge was encouraging their cell groups in multiple states to attack pro-life organizations, and they finally did. We sustained one of the most brutal attacks of all the 70-plus attacks that have occurred so far. Zero arrests. And not a word from local or federal law enforcement. There have been no updates, no press conferences, no reports. 70-plus attacks, no arrests. When I arrived there, the place was totally burned out. I mean, 25% fire damage, 100% smoke damage. We had to totally gut and rebuild. And we're still not in yet. But we continued to serve patients because we had multiple offers the very next day to house our services in other medical facilities. And so we were up and running the very next day serving patients. We're not going to let our crisis stand in the way of serving women in their moment of crisis. So on the building is being gutted. It's being rebuilt. I'm hoping to be back in on July 29th. So that's where we are.
It's just staggering the mind when you said that there have been about 70 such attacks. And to your knowledge, you know, where's the FBI? You know, where's the Justice Department? But I guess, you know, bottom line is, I mean, can you imagine if, let's say, your facility had been a pro-abortion facility where you were providing abortions and some so-called pro-lifer had firebombed the building?
Jerry, I can only imagine. I guess we have to look at this hypothetically. If past performance is any indicator of future behavior, there would definitely have been a very different response from the Attorney General, from the Biden administration, from federal and state law enforcement. You know, to add insult to injury, 6 days after we were firebombed in Buffalo, New York Governor Kathy Hochul signed a bill not investigating the arsonists, but to investigate us, pro-life pregnancy centers. And while she did it in the press conference, she referred to us as subhuman. She called us Neanderthals. This is the extent. And then beyond that, we've got the Attorney General, New York State Attorney General, coming out demanding that Google wipe us off their maps. And then we've got Elizabeth Warren demanding that people crack down on these crisis pregnancy centers. And then we've got the Biden administration signing an executive order on Friday, essentially demanding the Attorney General not investigate the domestic terrorist group, but investigate pregnancy centers and, quote unquote, their fraudulent practices. This is an all-out war on peaceful pro-life pregnancy centers. It's dystopian. It's something out of a surreal novel.
What's so amazing, too, is that, I mean, the show me the money. I mean, follow the money. You know, think about that. Abortion is a is an industry. There's a lot of money involved in it. What you're doing is essentially charity. And the pro-abortion side of things has all the protection of the law, you know, under the Biden administration. That would not be true, I'd say, in, you know, in other administrations.
That's exactly right. They are not enforcing the law equally, for sure. We've had no additional law enforcement allocated to protect pro-life organizations and people. And instead of proactively investigating through the attorneys general to look at the state level and the federal level, we're instead getting investigated ourselves by these people. It is absolutely unconscionable. And, you know, you're right. The abortion industry is a billion-dollar business. And that's what it is, a business. And when Roe versus Wade was reversed on June 24th, it immediately altered the business model of the abortion industry. It's similar to what might happen to the Ford Motor Company if the government said tomorrow you can't have dealerships in 30 states. They would have to dramatically alter their business model to a hub and spoke plan where people would have to fly in to get their vehicles to these states that continue to allow the dealerships to be open. And that's exactly what we're seeing happening. Women are traveling now to these abortion hub states like New York and California to get their abortions, or they're getting the dangerous chemical abortions shipped to their homes. And I say dangerous because they're 400% more dangerous than surgical abortions, and they're being touted as safer than Tylenol. And they're saying that we should investigate pregnancy centers because of their fraudulent practices. We don't have fraudulent practices. All we're trying to do is help women have their babies, support them with all the ethical medical care and comprehensive community support that they need in order to say no to abortion, because they don't feel like they can say no to abortion. They're coerced, and the abortion industry is complicit in the coercion.
What do we know about Jane's Revenge?
Well, that's a good question. Jane's Revenge refers to an underground abortion network back in the 1960s in Chicago called the Jane's Collective. And their whole motto is, if abortion isn't safe, then neither are you. And that's what they write when they attack these organizations. They have signature kind of graffiti scrawls on the sides of their building, which they did to us. It said Jane was here, or Jane's Revenge, or, you know, their motto, if abortion isn't safe, then neither are you. And it appears that these pro-abortion politicians have adopted the same motto: if abortion isn't safe, then neither are you, pregnancy centers. So Jane's Revenge is a bona fide domestic terrorist organization that is going out there fomenting violence and obviously engaging in violent activity. They have promised to engage in more violent activity. They said and increasing the type of violence beyond just fire and graffiti. So we're hoping that law enforcement finds someone soon just to arrest.
Now, I was under the understanding that the Jane referred to in Jane's Revenge was Jane Roe, but you're saying that this was from the 1960s even?
This was before. Yes, they're referring to Jane's Collective, which happened before Jane Roe in the 1973 Roe versus Wade decision.
Okay. Will you or other crisis pregnancy centers back down?
Well, we will never back down. God has told us to fear Him alone, and we are called to obey Him and Him alone. And so we're being attacked because of what we believe, Jerry. We believe that all people are made in the image of God and are deserving of blessing and protection from the womb to the tomb without partiality. And, you know, the Bible talks about how the opposite of love, if you look in the book of James, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is partiality. It's me playing God, getting to decide who qualifies for my favor and who does not, who qualifies as a person and who does not. And, you know, Jesus, to illustrate that point, provided the parable of the Good Samaritan to a lawyer, interestingly enough. Remember when the lawyer came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, what do I got to do to inherit eternal life? And he says, well, you're the lawyer, you tell me. And he said, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, that's right. Go and do that and you'll be fine. And then the response from the lawyer was, seeking to justify himself, apparently his poor behavior, he said, yeah, but who's my neighbor? There's the question. Because there's a very similar question, eerily similar, that was asked by the court. Nine lawyers, interesting. Nine lawyers asked the same question in 1973. They said, who's a person? And their answer was, the word person does not apply to the unborn. Which paved the way for the greatest social injustice, the greatest injustice the world has ever seen. called abortion. And Dobbs' case reversed that, saying, look, it's the government's job to protect all people without partiality. Roe was egregiously wrong. That's a direct quote from Dobbs. And specifically on that point of personhood, we're Christians. We believe all people should be blessed and protected from the womb to the tomb without partiality. And that's the government's job, too.
Now, you said nine, but you mean seven as far as the Roe v. Wade decision.
You're right.
Yeah, two dissented. One of them, in fact, who dissented said this is an act of raw judicial power. Well, I've got a quote here from you, which shows you that you are really an unlikely candidate to help, these pro-life centers get going. And here's a quote from you. Quote, I was born in the hospital my father ran to a mother who was a Planned Parenthood volunteer with an abortion-causing contraceptive device wrapped around my wrist at the very hands of a doctor who would later become a notorious, outspoken abortionist, Neville Sender. I only learned this after the Lord called me out of a pastoral role and into Compass Care in 2001. End quote from you, Jim Hardin. We have about 2 minutes left, but I'd like you to elaborate on this. This is interesting.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Lord, I believe in destiny. I believe God has a plan for all of us. And our job is to follow him, to follow him based on principle. Our job is to understand, what is abortion? Abortion basically represents a fundamental misunderstanding about what it means to be human under God. And our job as believers is to walk out the principles and truths of Scripture. That means being pro-life. That means doing everything we can to help women seriously considering abortion to have their babies. You know, when a woman faces unplanned pregnancy, she says, I'm stuck, I'm trapped, I've got no other choice, I need to have an abortion. And our job is to erase the need for abortion by giving her all the ethical medical care and comprehensive community support that she needs in order to have that baby. There's so much going on. There's so many attacks happening right now, but it's incumbent upon Christians to remember that Jesus said this would happen. It's not going to be popular to be a Christian in a culture that is fast becoming de-Christianized. But we're going to keep moving forward by God's grace and standing strong.
Amen. Well, one thing I want to mention here is that the right to life is actually mentioned explicitly in our national birth certificate, the Declaration of Independence. And when the founders wrote the Constitution, they said this is done in the year of our Lord, 1787, and in the year of independence, the 12th year, meaning that they, basically the Declaration of Independence is the foundation, really, of our Constitution. And yet this right to life, is so, attacked these days, especially by the abortion movement.
Oh, sure is. I mean, our whole Constitution, our whole governmental system is based on rule of law, not rule of man. Rule of man says, hey, there's a few people, small group of people that can dictate what it means to be human and what our moral framework should be and how we should behave in society. But God says, no. It's rule of law, and that's what our Constitution is. It is a law that is objective and beyond a generation, so that we can actually maintain a liberty and civilized order throughout time, and dignity too. I mean, the liberty is based on dignity. Because we're made in the image of God, we have dignity. If you extract that, then we've got nothing left. We've got no basis for a justice system. It's every man for himself. There's 350 million versions of right and wrong.
Well, how long do you think these attacks against the centers are going to continue? I mean, has anybody from the, from government said, hey, this is wrong, like Merrick Garland or the, attorney general of the country?
Well, there have been no pro-abortion politicians, no one from the political elite. This is the pro-abortion Kristallnacht. No one has criminalized this. No one has come out saying this is wrong. When I was standing in front of our facility, a press conference right after it was burned out, I said, this is the face of abortion. This is the pro-abortion Kristallnacht. And what I meant by that is Kristallnacht is German for broken glass at night. And it was a tipping point of violence into the Jewish community in 1938 Nazi Germany. Brown shirts targeted them, went out in the middle of the night, broke the glass in their homes and businesses, lit them on fire. And what caused it to tip into the Jewish community in terms of this greater violence was, number one, a lack of public outcry. You don't hear anything about this on the mainstream media. And number two, a refusal on the part of the political elite to criminalize and denounce the violence and stop it. And instead of doing that, we've got pro-abortion politicians fomenting the violence. Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, governors like in California and New York, then it needs to – these people need to be either laughed out of office or they need to stand up and protect all people equally, including those that might disagree with them ideologically, like pro-life Christians.
Okay, we're out of time, and I appreciate this so much. CompassCare.info for more information. Jim Hardin, all the best. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. God bless.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.